بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I get asked this question every year and I answer it every year, and I don't know why I'm asked this question every time every year. Anyway, and that question is about celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eid Maulud, Eid Milad, Eid Miladun Nabi, by whichever name. Celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to listen carefully at all the words. Now, in one line, celebrating the birth and celebrating the birthday are two separate issues. Celebrating the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah has sent His ni'mah, His blessing, His gift on the believers, on the mu'mineen, and may Allah count us among them, that He sent a messenger to them from among them to recite His kalam, to recite the ayats which He receives, to purify them, internal and external purification, to teach them the book of Allah, which is the same ayat, and to teach them wisdom, which is how to apply these ayat in their lives. So obviously, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the bi'asat, the raising, the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as His blessing, obviously it's a no-brainer that this is a matter of great rejoicing. This is a matter of great happiness. This is something for us to celebrate. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His blessings on His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so do the malaika, the angels make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His blessing on the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us and said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, sallu alayhi, send your blessings and send your salam on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and when you meet him, say salam alaykum. So here we have a blessing of Allah, and obviously we are supposed to rejoice and celebrate and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all blessings. Whether we do it or not is a different issue. We should do it. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our faculties which work, for our bodies which work, for our health and our wealth and our parents and our children and our friends and families and the places we live in, and the fact that we live in peace and comfort, where we live in peace and comfort, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the strength to resist and fight against and deal with and cope with difficulties and tragedies and so on and so forth. All of these and more, all that I have mentioned and all that I cannot possibly mention, are all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, without any cause for doubt in that fact. And every single one of them must be thanked, gratitude must be expressed for that, Allah must be thanked for that, and every single one of them must be celebrated, and we should be happy about that, and we should be thankful about that, and we should feel grateful about that, and we should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about that. One of the biggest of those blessings is Islam itself, which is without which we would have been in Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Islam. The biggest blessing of, among the biggest blessings is the door of tawbah and istighfar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left open for us until the last moment of our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make tawbah and istighfar right now. Not wait until the last moment, because we don't know when that will come. So make istighfar and tawbah right now as we sit here and as we listen to this. But remember, even though Allah granted us all of these blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention any of them specifically and did not draw our attention to any of them specifically and called it a blessing except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He is Allah sallam, is the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called specifically man allahu alayhi. Allah has blessed you with this. And who is this? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, if somebody says, should we celebrate the birth, the coming, the raising, the presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's a dumb question. That's a no-brainer. Of course you should. If you do not do that, if somebody says, do not celebrate that, you would say, well, you know, you must really examine your iman, because what you are saying is goes completely against the principle of iman. Second question, if somebody says, should we celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah? Then two other questions must be answered before that. First question that must be answered before that is, do you know when Rasulullah was born? Birthday. Do we know when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born? The answer to that is very simple. And the answer is that we don't know the exact date. We don't know the exact date when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Now, for example, if you say, if I tell you my date of birth, it is 20th of October, which corresponded in the year that I was born to 4th of Rabiul Awal. But do we have an exact date like that for Rasulullah? The answer is no, we didn't have. We don't have that. And the reason we don't have that is very simple, which is that among the Arabs, they'd had no tradition of noting down dates of birth. Their calendar itself was very sketchy. They used some parts of the Roman calendar. They used to name years based on significant events that occurred in that year. For example, we know for certainty that Rasulullah ﷺ was born in the Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. This we know because this was recorded, that he was born in the year of the elephant. And that refers to the incident where the Yemeni king Abraha came to Mecca with the intention of demolishing the Kaaba. And of course, he was foiled in his attempt by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on revealed Surah Al-Fil, and he narrated what happened in that. But obviously it was a huge event because it had never happened before. Nobody had come with an army to demolish the Kaaba. And on top of that, this army had elephants. It had one or more elephants. And for many or most or all of the people of Mecca, this was the first time they had actually even seen this animal, the elephant. So for them, it was a huge event. And so they named the year after that. Similarly, for example, when we read the Seerah, we have the mention of the Amul Huzn, which is the year of sadness, so the year of grief. And this refers to the year in which Rasulullah lost both Abu Talib and Umrah Khadijatul Kubra, radiallahu anha, his two greatest supporters in his family. He lost them both in that same year. And this caused him immense grief. And this year, therefore, is called Amul Huzn, the year of sadness. And we know this. But if you say, well, Amul Fil, the year of the elephant, or Amul Huzn, which year was that in the calendar? So the first question is which calendar? How would you date that? You know, so this was the situation at the time, and people didn't record exactly the day of a person's birth. Number one. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born like every other child in that particular year in the city of Makkah, in the town of Makkah. And more than likely, none of the dates of their births were recorded either. If you say, for example, what was the date of birth of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, what was the date of birth, and you can just sort of randomly name almost anybody and say what was the date of birth of these people, we do not have those dates of the births of any of those people. And so also when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, this was a child. He was born in an honorable home. He was born in an honorable family, but it was not a royal family. He was not the son of a king or something. Because the reason I'm saying that is because this was a tradition of the time, and even till today it continues, that the children of royalty and nobility, especially their dates of birth, are recorded in the Christian system. They would have a family Bible in which they would, on the front or the back, they would record the dates of birth of those people. In other cases, they would record the dates of birth in other places. But this was generally done for nobility and royalty and so on. It was not done as a common practice in society. Rasulullah was not a son of a king, because there was no royalty and nobility among the Arabs of the time. It was one of the most democratic, egalitarian societies that you would imagine. And so his date of birth was never recorded. Later on, people tried to count backwards, and then they said, well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. And that's the reason why we have so many different dates which are quoted as the dates of birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 12th of Rabiul Awal, and somebody said he was born in Ramadan, and somebody said he was born in Muharram, and somebody said he was born in this month and that month. All of these are conjectures. All of these are hypothetical. Even people who say the most valuable, the most reliable opinion, I mean, this is the statement, the most reliable opinion itself is conjecture. So this is there. So the first and foremost question, should we celebrate the date? As I said, this brings two questions. One is, when is that date? Because if I tell you, yes, you should celebrate it, then obviously you will ask me, so which date is that? And if I tell you 12th of Rabiul Awal, what is my dalil? What is my proof? And I have no proof. And nobody on the face of the planet has any proof. Nobody ever had any proof. Every statement that you hear about 12th of Rabiul Awal, or this date in Ramadan, or that date in Muharram, or that date here, that date there, all of these are conjectures. Alhamdulillah, those who made the conjectures, may Allah reward them. If they were right and if they were wrong, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. But that is a conjecture. It's not a definitive fact. Number one. Number two, the question of saying, well, which brings us to a more complex or complicated issue, which is, when you are doing any action connected with the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam, this would come under the description of Sunnah, right? If you are doing anything that you are connecting with him, it becomes Sunnah. And Sunnah, by definition, by default, alhamdulillah, is rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is ibadah. It is an act of worship. Somebody who is doing an act of Sunnah, and Sunnah means you are doing it the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it, and you are doing it for the reason he did it. These are two conditions of the Sunnah. And you're obviously doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are doing these actions, any action of the Sunnah, right? So for example, for growing a beard, for example, if somebody is growing a beard to look nice, this is not Sunnah. So therefore, there's no reward in that. He might still look nice. Any man would look nice with a beard, but that's immaterial. But if he's growing his beard because Rasulullah ﷺ used to have a beard and he ordered and commanded us to grow a beard, so therefore the person says, I am growing a beard because Rasulullah ﷺ commanded us to do that, because he used to do that, for the reason he did it, because he said, my Rabb likes this appearance. The hadith of the beard, I don't want to go off track now by quoting that hadith, but there is a hadith where Rabbi ﷺ spoke to the two people who came from the Iranian Empire to meet him and to take him with them. He said to them, they had big mustaches and they had no beard, and he said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't like that appearance. He asked them, who asked you to have this appearance? They said, our Rabb, our Lord. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my Rabb likes this appearance, and he passed his blessed hand over his blessed face and his beard, and then he commanded the Sahaba, he said, trim your mustaches and grow your beard. He didn't say shave your mustache, he said trim your mustaches and grow your beard. So somebody who's growing his beard, it's not a matter of facial hair, it's not a matter of fashion. If he is growing his beard because he wants to please Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, in the way that Rasulullah ﷺ did, for the reason that he did, then this is a sunnah. And this person, inshallah, will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him every single second for every hair of that beard as it grows, inshallah. Similarly, for everything else, if somebody eats his food or her food in the way that Rasulullah ﷺ used to eat, they will be rewarded, inshallah, for eating their food as a sunnah, as a matter of worship. So anything that is done with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Muhammadur Rasulullah did it becomes a sunnah. So now we come to the issue of the celebrity or the birthday. So first of all, we don't have a day. Secondly, the issue of celebrating it. How would you celebrate it? The way to celebrate the birth, as I told you, celebrating the birth, alhamdulillah, this is sunnah, this we should do, this makes sense, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do, celebrate his birth. Question is, how? Do we celebrate it on a particular day? As I mentioned to you, there is no dalil for this, we don't know the day. So when you don't know the day, you cannot celebrate the day, number one. Number two is, how do you celebrate? The way to celebrate the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, the way to celebrate the birth of Rasulullah ﷺ, the way to celebrate the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ on the face of the planet and among us is to follow him. There is no other way. The way to celebrate it, celebrate his presence, the way to celebrate his birth, the way to celebrate his being with us is to follow him, is to make his ittiba. Therefore, the simple question to ask yourself is, or anybody to ask this, is how did he, or did he, and if so, how did he celebrate his birthday? Now we know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I was born on a Monday. He did not say, I was born on Monday, 12th of Rabiul Awwal, year so and so. He didn't say that. He said, I was born on a Monday. Which Monday or which year? If it was important, he would have said it. If it was important, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have revealed Quran about this. He didn't say it. And Allah did not reveal Quran about this. He said, I was born on a Monday. And he used to fast on Mondays because he said, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my deeds to go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm in a state of fasting. So the way to celebrate the birthday, which we know, which is a Monday, the day, not the date, the day, we know it's a Monday. The way to celebrate that is to fast every single Monday of your life. That is 52 fasts per year. Right? So please go ahead, do that. Please go ahead and do that fast every single Monday of your life from this day onwards. If you are sincere about celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If on the other hand, instead of that, you celebrate his birthday, first of all by nominating a particular day of the year on the calendar without any authority and without any evidence as the date of his birth, and then by having some kind of a celebration, whether it's a function, whether it is lectures, whether it is nasheeds, whether it is, cooking special food, whether it is wearing special clothes, whether it is calling it Mawlud or Mawlid or Eid-e-Milad-un-Nabi or Milad-un-Nabi or whatever name you give it, specifying that particular day. And may Allah have mercy on us. We have incidents where now there are some masajid and imams who are actually doing a two rakah, they are doing a khutbah for Eid-e-Milad-un-Nabi, and they are praying two rakat of Salatul Eid. Now, if you do that, then number one, you have zero evidence for any of these actions. First problem, there's no evidence. Number two, none of these actions were done by Rasulullah himself, nor did he command anyone to do that, nor did any of the Khulafa Rashidin do it, nor did any of the Sahaba do it, nor was any of this stuff done until it was started and invented in Egypt by the Fatimi dynasty. This was the Shia Fatimi dynasty in Egypt, and one of those Fatimi kings, more than 300 years after Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, invented this tradition of Mawlid or Mawlud or Eid-e-Milad-un-Nabi, as part of a series of celebrations which included his own birthday, and it included the birthday of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Hussein and Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah. This king is the one who invented this practice. This practice did not exist on the face of the earth until it was invented by this person. So the point is, now, therefore, if you are doing any of this stuff, who are you following? Are you following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you following the Khulafa Rashideen Mahdiyeen? Are you following the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain? Or are you following this Fatimi king? So decide for yourself, go read the history, and make sure that you are following the one who... following whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to follow, whom Allah ordered you to do, and following whom will lead to Jannah. And that is only one. Who is that one? Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah did not say somebody else other than the Rasul. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For the one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who looks forward to the Day of Judgment, and who makes a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very, very, very clearly for anyone who is interested in getting hidayah, anyone who is interested in being guided. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to those who followed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his love for him, Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to these people who claim to love Allah, make my ittiba, follow me, imitate me, emulate me, and Allah will love you. And Allah will forgive all your sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. The guarantee of having our sins forgiven, the guarantee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving us, the guarantee of success in this dunya wal akhirah, is to follow Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah is my witness when I say this. Ya Allah, you are listening. Ya Allah, you are making me say it. Ya Allah, make this true. Not following anybody else. Nobody. Nobody. And least of all, somebody who was neither a Khalifa Rashid, nor was he a Sahabi, nor was he anything. Now, you might say, well, okay, so got this. And therefore, I would say, let's ask a simple question. and we are talking now about this Miladun-Nabi business, but ask this question about anything at all. Did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do it? Did the Khulafa Rashida do it? Did the Sahaba do it? And if your answer is that none of them did it, then don't do it. Do not do it. Do not participate in it. If there is any gathering which is happening with that onwan, with that title, with that purpose, do not participate in that gathering. As I mentioned to you right at the beginning, celebrating the birth, meaning if there is a gathering which is not specific to a particular day, which is not talking about it, this is a gathering of Miladun Nabi, this is a gathering of Maulid and Maulud, this is a gathering of Eid and Miladun Nabi, if none of these titles is there, if there is just a gathering to talk about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to talk about his seerah, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the intention of trying to follow the seerah in our lives, alhamdulillah, 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 mubarak, 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 please go and participate in that gathering, support it, and hold more and more such gatherings in your own places. No problem. But if the same thing is happening, or something similar is happening, with the title of any of this stuff, celebrating the birthday, so on, stay away. Because this is not from the Sunnah, and this therefore is a big problem. Now, we come to the next part, which is, what is the problem? The problem is that this becomes a bid'ah. What is a bid'ah? This is very important to understand this. A bid'ah, the basic word bid'ah means an innovation, something new, right? The famous hadith of Rasulullah, which he mentioned, where he said, Bada'a Islama Ghariban. Bada'a Islama Ghariban. Islam started as something strange. Islam started as something strange. Bada'a Islama Ghariban. Sayaudu Kama Bada. And it will turn and it will return to being the way it was when it started. Fatuba lil Quraba, and he said, give the glad tidings of Jannah to the people who will be called the strangers. So, bada, strangers, strange, new, right? Ghariban, ghariban is strange, not bada. Bada is, gharib is strange. In Urdu, we say ajib o gharib, that's from Arabic. Bada, it means the beginning, something new. So, bid'ah is something which is new. Now, we have the famous hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we hear practically in every Jum'ah, in every masjid on the face of the earth, where we know, where we say Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned, inna ahsan al hadithi, inna asdaq al hadithi, kitabullah. Verily, the most truthful statement is the kitab Allah, is the book of Allah. وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The last part, وكل ضلالة في النار, is in one of the narrations. And in the other one, it is not there. But وَكُلُّ بِدَاعَةٍ dalala is there in both. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, therefore, as I mentioned, the best of guidance is the kitab, the best of, the most truthful of speech is the kitab of Allah, is the speech of Allah, is the book of Allah. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُهْدَثَاتُهَا, which is the, of all matters, the worst are innovations, and everything new is an innovation. كُلُّ بِدَاتٍ كُلُّ مُهْدَثَاتٍ بِدَعَ, everything new is an innovation, and every innovation is a deviation. كُلُّ بِدَاتٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, and every deviation leads to the hellfire. Now, it is very, very important to remember that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say that there are exceptions to this. He said, Kullu bidatin dalala. Now, I know there are differences of opinion, from different scholars. Somebody says it applies to this and applies to that and so on. But I am explaining to you that first and foremost, the dominant opinion is that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says something, it means the way he said it. To give it another interpretation, which in some cases, like in this one, seems to be the opposite. Those who are doing it, you know, they have whatever reason they have to do it. But safety lies in staying in within the boundaries. And the boundary is just take his word literally as he said it. And if he said kullu bidatin dalala, that's what it means. All innovation is misguidance, and kullu dalalatin finnar, all misguidance is in the fire. Number one. Number two, some people ask this question, well, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not use a cell phone, and he didn't drive in a, he didn't sit or drive in a car or a plane. So is that a bid'ah? Now, this is again, the problem is that most of us don't take trouble to learn the deen systematically. So we don't know the definitions of meanings of things and meanings. Now, obviously, the language is one, whichever language. And the language has, no matter how many words it has, it doesn't have enough words to describe every nuance. So, for example, the meaning of the word salah is dua, right? As we said in the ayat itself, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah and his malaika send salah on the nabi. And Allah is saying, sallu alayhi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi, O people, O believers, send your salah on the nabi. So what does it mean? It means dua. Make dua for the Nabi. Send salam on the Nabi. Make ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The word is the same word salah. You are saying salatul janaza. You're praying janaza salah. So salah means you are making dua of maghfira. You are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the person who passed away. Salatul janaza. So then if somebody says, well, then why must I pray Salatul Fajr, Salatul Zuhar, Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha? If I just make dua, this is sufficient, because Salatul Janaza is dua. Sending Salat and Salam on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is dua, the same word Salat. Therefore, I will use this as my understanding. You will say, sorry, you are wrong. That is not the meaning. There, every word has a linguistic meaning and it has a technical meaning, right? It has a technical meaning. And the reason why this is because the words, that we don't have different words. So it's the same word which has a linguistic meaning, which is dua, which has a technical meaning where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabam mawquta. Allah did not say that making dua has been prescribed on the people at specific times. Allah said, salah has been prescribed. Now what is this salah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us what salah is, and he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. He didn't say make dua as you saw me making dua. He said, he showed people what to do. This is salah. You stand facing the qibla. You stand in a state of tahara. You stand in a place which is clean. You are wearing proper clothes. You raise your hands to your ears as takbir tahreema to begin the salah. And then you do this and this and this, and you make ruku and you make sujood, and you recite this and you recite that, you recite this before that, and so on and so forth, and you make salam and your salah is over. This entire process is called salah also. So what must you do? Simply say, well, you know what, salah means this, therefore I will do it. Meaning, I will just make dua, halas, forget the masjid. I don't need masjid, I don't need jama, I don't need imam, I don't need anything. I just make dua. And alhamdulillah, you people are praying 5 times a day, I will pray 25 times a day. Does it make sense? It makes no sense, because you are using the word out of context. So similarly, in this case, when we are saying bid'ah, the word itself means innovation, it means something new, but it doesn't mean something new by itself. The technical meaning of bid'ah is something new in the practice of the religion. It doesn't mean wearing different kinds of clothes, or it doesn't mean driving in a car and not driving in a car, or riding a horse or riding a camel or not riding a camel. It has nothing to do, because riding a horse or riding in a car has nothing to do with religion. It is a worldly matter which, alhamdulillah, we are free to do whatever we like, as long as it doesn't conflict with any religious injunction. But as far as the religion is concerned, every matter which is part of faith, and especially part of ibadah, part of worship. So if somebody is giving a khutbah for Eid, Eid Miladun Nabi, right, and praying two rakat of salah as salat of the Eid of Miladun Nabi, then this person must show evidence for that from the Quran and the Sunnah. If he does not do that, then this action becomes an action of bid'ah, because this person is inventing an act of worship which was not done by Rasulullah or the Khulafa or the Sahaba or anybody. A new action has been invented which was not done by any of them. If they have the evidence that Rasulullah did it, please show it. We have the hadith, famous hadith in Sunan Nasai and Sunan Abi Dawud, narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah, when Nabi Sallallahu came to Madina, they said, Ya Rasulullah, these people have 2 days of Eid, 2 days of celebration. Nabi Sallallahu said, Allah has given you 2 better days of celebration. 2, not 3. 2 better days of celebration. He said, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, in which you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Eid al-Adha, you sacrifice in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say, we have 3 Eids, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and my birthday. He didn't say that. He said, you have 2 Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, and this is the nature of people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in another hadith, he said that people have days of celebration. Our days of celebration are 2, not 3, not 4, 2, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So, alhamdulillah, we have this. Now, if somebody wants to innovate something new, then this becomes a bid'ah. Now, the biggest problem with bid'ah, the biggest problem with innovation is, first of all, as I mentioned to you, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said specifically, all bid'ah is misguidance and all misguidance is in the fire. So, fear Allah and fear the fire. Please, do not enter into bid'ah. Do not start them. Do not participate in them. Number two, or the reason why a bid'ah is such a big deal, is because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned very clearly the famous ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which was revealed when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Mina. During his Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dina. Allah said, today Allah has completed your religion. Completed. Allah has not left anything incomplete. The religion does not need anything at all. The religion is total and complete and final. Akmaltu lakum dinakum. Allah has completed for you your deen. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed for you His ni'mah, His blessing on you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ وَالْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with Islam as a deen for you. Islam as a way of life for you. Right? So this ayah came completely unequivocal, complete. There's absolutely no room for doubt. There's no room for any speculation, there is no question. Islam is complete. There is no room for doubt about this. This is the Quran. The one who believes in it is a Muslim. The one who denies it is not a Muslim. Simple as that. Then, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the same day, in the same place, we have the famous narrations of his Hajj. Among the things he said was, He said to the people, have I completed my job? Have I conveyed everything to you without leaving anything out? And they said, we are, yes, Ya Rasulullah, you've done that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his finger, index finger of his right hand to the sky. He looked to the sky and he said, oh Allah, you are witness. You are witness. You are witness. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completed his job, completed his responsibility, and he conveyed the religion completely, fully, totally, without leaving anything out. And we are witness to that. This is part of our aqidah. Anybody who believes that Rasulullah ﷺ left something out has himself or herself left the religion, because they are making a buhtan, they are making slander on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Therefore, they cannot be in Islam, they are out of Islam. Anyone who's starting a bid'ah, anyone who starts anything new in the religion, is saying both these things. He's saying that Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala did not speak the truth when he said that the religion is complete, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak the truth when he said he has conveyed everything. There was a piece left, and that piece I am completing today by starting this new practice. Whether it is giving a khutbah for Eid Miladun Nabi and praying two rakat of Salah, or whatever the nature of the bid'ah, this bid'ah, which is an innovation, which is an introduction, which is a new thing in the practice of the religion, starting especially with the ibadat, starting especially with the formal acts of worship, but can extend to anything which is part of religion. It's not wearing a sherwani or wearing a turban or wearing this kind of shoe or driving in a car or a plane or whatnot. Sorry for repeating myself, but this is a question which goes again and again. So please don't ask these questions. I hope I'm making it clear. Anyone who introduces anything into the religion of any nature, this person has introduced something into the religion. And by his or her action and by his or her speech, they are claiming that Allah did not speak the truth and the Nabi alayhi salam did not speak the truth, na'udhu billah, and that they are now completing the religion. And until this time, this religion was not complete. Anyone who's saying that, obviously they have denied the Quran and they have denied the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know the meaning of that. So my brothers and sisters, please, whether it is, I'm saying all of this in the context of Mawlud and Milad and whatnot, but any action in the deen, please judge it on this very simple format. Don't worry about difference of opinion and this scholar said that and that scholar said that. We don't follow any scholar, we follow the Nabi alayhi salam, and we follow all the scholars who followed the Nabi alayhi salam, period. Ask yourself a very simple question. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do it? Do you have conclusive evidence to show that? Did the Khulafa'i Rashideen do it? Did the Sahaba do it? And if the answer is that the Rasul alayhi salam did not do it, and neither did the Khulafa or the Sahabi, please don't do it. Stay safe. Stay safe. Don't play games with the deen of Allah, because it's a matter of your and my akhirah, which is forever and ever. And anyone who's encouraging you to go against this rule will not be standing with you when we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when we face the Rasul alayhi salam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very clearly, he said, on my house, I will be there at my house and I will see my followers coming to me and I will recognize them by the shining of their faces and their hands and their feet because of wudu. So he's talking about practicing Muslims. And he said, but the angels will come in between and they will drive them away. They will drive them away. And I will protest, I will say, don't drive them away, they are my followers. They will say, Ya Rasulullah, they are not your followers. You don't know what they did after you left them. And this refers specifically to bid'at. These are the people who introduce things into the religion when you had gone. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I will turn my face away. We don't want to be among those who will be driven to the Jahannam after living a life practicing Islam, thinking we are practicing Islam, because we introduced bid'at, we introduced things into the deen which didn't belong there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all bid'at. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe. As I mentioned to you, don't worry about this, the differences of opinion of the scholars. No problem. Let them have differences of opinion. You're not a scholar. I'm definitely not a scholar. Let this go on record. But I am somebody who plays safe. I do what the Nabi alayhi salam did. Nobody, Allah is not going to question me why I did not follow Imam Ghazali or Imam this or Imam that. Allah will question me why I did not follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I make sure that I follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what I'm asking you to do. Nothing more. I'm asking you to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and nobody who said anything different from that. As simple as that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.